Erev Shabbos Parashas Lech Lecha Tovshin Samaches. Perek Yud Dalet. Had a Perek Yud Dalet? Perek Yud Dalet in Parashas Lech Lecha until Perek Tesvav. The whole Perek takes up the story of the Melchama, the war between the four kings and the five kings. Quite lengthy, and in comparison to other things that are mentioned in the Torah, this whole story, and very detailed. These are the four kings, and we name them by name, and what city they were the kings of. They waged war against Beram, we name them by name, the four kings against the five kings. Kol Eila, all these nine kings, Chavra Aleim HaKasidim, they came to this place, Enrich HaKasidim, which is today called Yam HaMelach. And the Torah says exactly what happened here. Shtei Mesri Shana Ovzer Skadar Loimer, really the Medrash explains that when they all gathered at Enrich HaKasidim, all nine of these kings, they really decided that they're going to pay homage to Kedar Loimer. And they'll listen to him. He'll be the head, even though they each had their own little army, or their own little group. They were each malachim, each of them were kings on their own right, but they decided to serve Kedar Laimer. So this took 12 years, they went with this plan, that everybody served Kedar Laimer, and his three other cohorts, his three other kings in their cities, and the five gave into that. But it was Shloish Esrei Yishana Maradu. But then, for the next 13 years, after 12 years of sort of peace, the next 13 years, they rebelled. And they said, we had enough of serving Kedar Laimer, and we five kings, we want to be in charge. Then, finally, Vabetz Rishana Bar Kedar Laimer Vamalacham Asher Itay, Kedar Laimer and the other three kings who with him went, and they cleaned house. Vayak was Rifoim Asher Eskenayim Vesazu. Who are these people? We didn't mention these. Who are they? So this is, I assume, anybody who was involved with the five kings. If anybody who went on the rebellion against the four kings in Kedar Laimer, they said, we're wiping you out. And they went, and the Torah describes all of the different cities that they killed out. Pasuk Zayin, Vayeshuv Avel Ein Mishpat, Hikadesh, and they killed the Amaleki, the Amori. And then why they're waging war against everybody. Pasuk Ches says, Vayetz Melech Sedei, Melech Amori, Melech Adma, Melech Tzvayi, Melech Bela. And they come back, the five, and they wage war against the four. Vayarchuitu melchama beimek hasidim. Against who? Again, Eish Kedar Laimer, Lechavisidol, Vamrafel, Vaharyech. So again, we mention it by name. Would we have to mention the names again? The second time? Arba melachim isachamisha. It was the four against the five. And in case you were too lazy to count it up, that there were four names here and five names before, you should know it was four against five. Obviously, but he needs an explanation. What did he tell me four against five? Ve'emek Hasid, in this place was Beres. Beres Chema was full of these muddy pits. And the four were just too strong against the five, and they ran away. Sedeim, Amayra, Anma, Tzvayim. Ve'ayichu, Azkol Ruchush, Teim, Amayra, Azkol Ochlam, Ve'eleichu. They took all the possessions, they looted them, and they went off as the Sedeim and Amayra, as they're running away. Vayichu es Loit, part of the loot that they took was this guy Loit, Vesruchusha, his possessions. He was Ben Achi Avram, the nephew of Ram, Vayelechu, Vuhu Yeshim Bistayim. The reason why they got him then was because he was living in Sedeim at the time. That was Loit. Then, the famous episode we know, Vayavi Apolit, came the refugee who was, and according to Chazal, Eig Melech HaBoshon, Vayagil Avram Avirvi, and he came and told Avram, who was living in Eilene Mamre at the time, Vein Baalei Bris Avram, Vayishma Avram, Avram, he is Kinish Be'achiv, that his brother, in other words, his nephew, was captured. So what does he do? I'm going to war against these four kings, because they kidnapped a soldier here, they kidnapped Lloyd, it wasn't a soldier, but they kidnapped one of his own. He says, I'm going to go fight against them. 318 men, or is just him and Eliezer. Eliezer Gematri 318. And they chased the four kings. They smote them, and they defeated the kings. As it says in Pasuk Tazayin and Yudzayin, he got back Lot and his family and his possessions. Melech Sodom comes out of hiding because somebody came to his rescue, namely Avram and Eliezer, defeated the enemy here, the four kings. And they came out Achrei Shuvoi after they returned Mehakaisis Kedarloimer Vasamalacham Eitri. So Kedarloimer, Siddal, Aryeh, and Elasar, the four kings, who everyone was terrified of. Because for the first 12 years, everybody was subservient. And the next 13 years, they tried to stage a rebellion. It didn't work. The 14 years, they started wiping everybody out. And the Sodom and they fled. Until Avram Avinu comes with his little army, kills out the four kings. Nimrod was part of those four kings, by the way. So Avram was finished with all the tzaras from Nimrod. They run off. And now Melech Sodom, of course, is all happy. And he says, I want to pay you for that. Avram says, I'm not interested. That was the story of the four kings and against the five kings. I hope you enjoyed the story. That's what took place. So the way Chazal understand this story here, because I'm sure if you would have read the Hamodiah when the story came out, they would have said there was this war, four kings, they were less, their armies were smaller, but they defeated the five. Not only that, they hit the Rephaim, the Zuzim, the Amalekim, all these people, until Avram finally came up. Small Avram came along, amazing, a miracle. And that was the end of the story. It spanned 25, almost 26 years. And that was the story here. So obviously, the Torah doesn't have to sort of waste its breath to tell us this whole episode and the kings who fought and the names and the how many there were. So for that reason alone, the Medrash in the Parsha here says that that's not what happened. On the surface, that's exactly what took place. But there were many different reasons of why this took place. And actually, which boils down to one reason. There's only one reason why this whole history of 25 years, with all the wars and all the rebellions, took place. And the Medrash is right in Parshat Membeis, the first one, said actually by Rebbelezer ben Hurkanis. We know Rebbelezer ben Hurkanis was an Amoretz. He ran away from home because he wanted to learn. His father said, you know, can't learn a thing. He ran away. He says, that's it, I'm disowning you. You don't have any of my great wealth. And he went to learn with Rebbe Yechon Zakkai. Many years later, his father Hurkanis comes to Rebbe Yechon Zakkai's yeshiva. He wants to hear a shir. And who's darshaning? None other than his son Rebbe Eliezer. And this is his drasha that day. So passing into Hillim, which says, Cherev Paschu Rishayim. The Rishayim opened up with the sword, another they staged the war. Vidarchu Kashtam. And they shot their bow and arrow. Lahapil Ani Ve'evyain, to put down the one who is poor, the one who is weak. Litvayach Yishrei Darach, and to shech, to slaughter those who go in the straight path. And then charbei tavoi belibam. Then their own sword will go in their hearts. So that's what David HaMelech said in Tehillim. The Rishayim take out the sword to put down the ani ve'evyain, to kill the yishrei darech, and in the end they're going to be killed themselves. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanis, this is how you understand this pasuk. Cherev paschu Rishayim ze'am rafel v'chaverev. These are the four kings. The four kings took out the sword to frighten everyone that we're stronger than everyone and we will rule. Lahapil ani ve'evyain. What was the point of that? What was the point of starting the whole thing 25 years earlier? Was lahapil ani ve'evyain to have the downfall of the weak one? Is there light? Light. Who needs light? Who's light? He's the great tzaddik. He's no tzaddik. He went to live with Sodom and do like they're doing. What do they need light for? You're right, they don't need light. But lights they're in to get the big fish. Litvayach Yishrei Darech Ze Avram. The whole point of getting light was to get Avram. And the whole point in this whole war, whether we understand it in a conscious level or their mazel got them to do this, was the point was to go defeat Avram. That was the whole point of the war. In the end, Charb and Tavim Liban, their own sword went against them. That's the end of the war with Avram Avinu. One and he emerged victorious. That's Vayechalek Elayim Laila Huva Avodah Vayakim. That's how Chazal understands. Chazal understand it wasn't just a war, but this war actually hinged on the fact that they can get light, because you know, if they get light, that's how they get Avram Avinu. They get Avram Avinu, then what? What prize do they win? Latvaya Yichshrei Derech, yeah?
Is there a fight against the Kerech HaTev?
Fight against the Kerech HaTev.
I'm not sure why they had to look to bring in Avram. They were killing everybody left and right. Avram was hanging out there in, where was that? Elohim Amre.
Right, so it seemed they had to lure him in.
Why?
They would not have, maybe they were...
They didn't let go and go over the territory.
Right, they were afraid to start up directly with him, and they figured that sort of if he's on the on the attacking end, maybe they could. Okay.
You always fight in your own territory.
So it's known the Vilna Gaon. It's said over in the name of the Vilna Gaon that whenever you have something the first time in the Torah, that is sort of the guide to know what is all about that thing. We mentioned once this Gemara in Bava Kamma that says if you see a test in your dream, the ice test, that's good. Why? Because the first time the letter test is written in the Torah is the word Taif. The first time something's brought in the Torah, so is that the model, that's the paradigm for all of that, those things in history. So this is the first war that's brought in the Torah. The war against the four kings and the five kings that brought in the Torah the first time over here. So really any war, that means according to the Vilna Gaon, says Ramesha Shapiro, according to the Vilna Gaon, this war is sort of the paradigm, the example of every war. And the truth is, it's really a medrash right over here in the parasha, also Perek Mem Beis. In parasha Dalet. Amar v'alazah baravina, im ra'isa malchiyas mizgores elu ba'elu. If you see kingdoms flaring up against one another, you see people going to war with one another, Safei l'ragle shel Mashiach. You could look for the footsteps of Mashiach already. You see countries going to war, so you should stand back and look that there's an emergence of a Geula and a Mashiach over here. Teida, the proof of this is Shekein Sharebe Me'avram Ayideshin Esgoro Malchis Elu Be'elu Bo'a Geula Lavram. So Avram, in his day, when they decided to wage war against one another, that's how it ended up that the four kings were defeated. And as we said, he was free. He had a geula from Nimrod, his own personal geula. But Avram, as the Av Hamayin Goyim of Klal Yisrael, this is how it's to be understood. Why should it be understood this way? See, it's a very interesting question. He says, why do Malachim go to war with one another? Why do countries go to war? Doesn't make sense. They know there's going to be casualties. They know they're not going to come back with the whole army. And yet they go to war. Days of old, even the king himself went to war. Why? Why would they go to war?
There's an economic professor who wrote a thesis saying that war is essential for mankind to live.
War is essential for mankind to live.
Yes,
he said,
because
why?
Because it eliminates hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people. Therefore, there's less...
So he says, the point to me, somehow the people have this craze in their heads to go to war in order to leave more room for the rest of us.
Well, strong shall survive.
Strong shall survive.
There are a limited amount of commodities and assets in the world. Can't all keep on using them up.
So he bases it on an economical reason. Well, George Bush sent in hundreds of thousands of troops to Iraq. Why did he do that? For economical reasons? For economical reasons?
Well,
Should be less Americans? Is that why? Is there not enough cars for us?
Democracy.
What does that mean?
The spread of democracy in the world.
He's Mamish Tzadik. He wants to spread democracy in the world. There's only one reason that countries go to war.
Power.
Power. George Bush sent to war. Why? because he is afraid of this Meshuggah over there, and he wants to protect himself, of course, with the expression of freedom, and that's it. Free. What does freedom mean? It means I want to do what I want to do, and I want the ability to do it, and I want to be afraid of this crazy guy, and in order to protect myself, and protect my money, protect my wealth, protect my power, that's why a person would go to war. And he knows there's going to be casualties, but everybody buys into the system, because then we have our melech, and we have our person who we look up to, and who for protection, for the wealth. That's why every country goes to war. Today, 1,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, that's why countries go to war. He had a very nice dig. The Rambam says, the Rambam puts the halachas of melchemes mitzvah, of when we have to go to war, with the halachas of melachim. The halachas of kings. He calls it hilchus melachim u'melcham oiseyim, the laws of kings and their wars. And that's because the Rambam is in studies telling us that the only reason a king goes to war is because he wants to keep his kingdom. If you take that further, a king will go to war, and any king, sort of the Malchayum Sa'ilam, they go to war to have their own power because they want to call the shots, they want to be in control, as opposed to who? Certainly as opposed to others. But ultimately means as opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And certainly when they were more cognizant, but even today, they were more cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Malchus, they are going to war and they are saying, we are the Melech as opposed to the Melech Malchi HaMelachim. They want to say, we are in control and we'll make the rules and we'll set what should be done. That's what they're saying essentially. So if anybody is going contrary to that, or they feel they're losing their power in the air, sort of like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of Kaviyachu flexing his muscles, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing, no, I'm in charge, then they feel threatened, and they have to go out even stronger. And if there's a person, Avraham Avinu, who's professing monotheism, who's saying, no, there's only one God in the world, there's only one leader in the world, and one person who has all the power in the world, there's only one being who has all the power in the world, and who makes the rules, who we have to listen to him, then that's contrary to their mission over here. So what do they have to do with him? So we got to get rid of him. We got to bump him off. How are they going to do that? They had a whole plan. They're going to do that through getting light. Sometimes you don't have to go out to the frum Jew himself, the one who's actually the Mashiach Hashem, the one who's professing this, the one who's promoting HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Sometimes you have to go to secular Jew. You get light, but through him we'll get the Torah Jew too. So that was the Medrash over here explains what was going on. And that's why Marisa Malchis Mizgoras Elu Ba'elu, if you see Malachim flaring up in war against one another, Safei L'Raglav Shem Mashiach. Because you know that they have a sense that they are losing power. They have a sense themselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing himself more. So they have to fight even harder. Because they don't want their power to be usurped. They want to retain their power. They want to just strengthen it and expand it. So why does it say all the names, and why does it say it was 4 against 5? So there's a third medrash right in this parsha as well. This is in Membeis Beis. Amar Rav Avon, Kishem Shepasach B'dalad Malchis, just like the Perek started off, Ayibi Imam Rafael, Melech Shinar, Ayach, Melech Lashkar, Darloi, Melech Elam, Asil, Melech Goyim, started off with those four. Kachin Nechaisim, Melech B'dal Malchis. The end of the parasha also says that the five went against the war. Against who? Eishkar, Darloi, Melech, all four. Arbo, Melechim, Esach, Hamisha. Says the Medrash. Kachin Nechaisim, Melech B'dal Malchis, Malchus Bovel, Malchus Modai, Malchus Yavon, or Malchus Edom. And it's these four, when it says it again, Kedar Lo'im, Esidol, Amrafel, and Aryeich, is not to be understood in the literal name of then, but it was really a hinting to the four Goliaths that would have to go through. Kedar Lo'im, Amrafel, is Bovel, and Aryeich is Modai, and then Yavon, and then Edai. And this was told to Avraham Avinu also. And that's why in Perek Tesvav, right after the story of the Malachim, what happens in Perek Tesvav? HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the Bris Ben Amasarim with Avram Avinu. And in the Bris Ben Amasarim, in the Vidyan Perek Tesvav Pasik Yud Beis, Avram Avinu brings the Egla and the Ayil and the Eis and the bird, and he cuts them up, except the Tzipra Leibasar, the bird, he doesn't come up, cut up. Rashi says, why? Because all the Umas Ayilam are compared to the bull and the goat, and so he cuts them up, because in the end they'll be cut up. And the Tzipra, the bird, which is the Yaina, compared to the Yaina, they don't get cut up, because we will emerge victorious. And it was at this time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him the four gullies. V'yeh Hashemesh Lovev Esadeh Menafel Avram. Medrash says, because the Mefarshim here bring this, Eima Zubavel Chasheicha Gedela Nefelas Lav referred to all of the four gullies. And Avraham Avinu was told that just like this happened with the four kings, the four gullies, and they waged war against you, and it was for one purpose only, to get you, but in the end, Avraham Avinu, you're going to be victorious. You're smaller, you're fewer, you're weaker, but Avraham Avinu, you're going to win. In the end, that's what's going to be. And this is, again, just an example of what's going to be the safe. Will be, in the end, the same idea. In Yecheskel, Navi Yecheskel and Navi Daniel speak a lot about Gog Magog. It's hard to figure out all of the psukim, but the Mefarshim, the Malbim already a few hundred years ago explained what's going to happen, and there's Midrashim about it. Gog Magog is the gematria of, adds up to the number 70, the Medrash Tanchuma says. Because it's the Shiva Mumais. When Goyim Gomagu will come, it means all 70 nations are coming against us. Kol Goyim Sevavuni, we say it in Halal. Kol Goyim Sevavuni, Shu Asi Lichneis Kol HaUmais. In the end, he will gather all of the nations, Ulalaisim Yerushalayim, and take them against Yerushalayim. V'Yisrael Misyaron Ba'isisho. We will be afraid at that time. V'Akash Baruch Hu Emelem Al Tiru. Hashem says, you don't have to be afraid, because Al Tira Teilas Yaakov, you're like a worm, you're much smaller, but you don't have to be afraid. So we just saw recently in the Sefer from Reb Zilberstein, and I just saw a quote in the name of the Gro also, that the Gro says that the Melchama of Gog Magog, at least the last stage of the Melchama of Gog Magog, will take 12 minutes. That will be the whole thing. And Rashi in Sanhedrin explains the Chavlei Mashiach, we have to endure Chavlei Mashiach, the pangs of Mashiach. The Chavlei Mashiach, Rashi says, is the fact that we're frightened. The fact that we don't know what's going to happen, that's what Rashi explains. The Pchodim V'Chavolim Mashiach B'yom of Michael Ha'umais, and the fright of all the nations, that's what's going to be in the days leading up to Mashiach. Just the fact that we're afraid, the fact that we don't know what's going to happen. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu says we'll be Maimon Melech Koshe Kahaman. Why Kahaman? When Hashem wants us to do tshuva, so he'll give rise to power a king like Haman. Why Haman? Why not like Pharaoh? So Haman was the one who wasn't. Normally what happens when a person wants to fight against his enemy, he wants to defeat his enemy, so he doesn't come out in the open and say what he's going to do. And Haman, a year before he was going to carry out his plan, said openly what he was going to do. What did he do that for? Because he wasn't afraid. Because he wasn't afraid of it. He knew that no one could stop him to do what he does. He was a crazy man, and he had the backing of Achashverosh, who ruled over all 127 Medinas, so he wasn't afraid. So he's ready to say what he wants. And it's those type of Rishayim who express openly what they plan on doing, who are not afraid of anybody or anything, and these are the people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to be my Melachim like that, and they're going to wage war. What is that going to be? That's going to be B'Seif Yamav. B'Seif Yamav, that's what it's going to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is what it's going to be. And We see it already from thousands of years ago. The four kings are just an allusion to what's going to take place throughout history of the four Goliaths that we will have to endure, ending with the Malchama of Gog Magog, which will be very short, according to Rabbi Yisenu HaKadoshim, it will take very short. And for us, there's only one thing to do. Like Shalu Rabbi Eliezer, the Talmidim asked Rabbi Eliezer, what do you do to be saved from Chavli Mashiach? Is Yasek B'Teira, or Gimel Aschasad?